Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.
Welcome to Crunch Time.
Almost into a dead end. Hand passed it backward to Dangerfield. Not without a hope from 52. Danger goes whack! Hawkins in front position. Down to Stengel. Johnny on the spot. Well, that'll work.
Got a fist to Taylor. Fell into the lap of Parker, who snaps. Doesn't get a kind bounce. Yes, he does.
The first gamer, eyes lit up. Has the ball smothered. Maybe Parker can do it. Of course he can. He's got five.
To the top of the square, Danner! It was all set up for Joe, and he rose up and he's handballed it as the siren went to Cockatoo. Are you for real? I wouldn't be laughing, Joe, if I were you. Got taken high by Burton as he shoved the handball forward. McCarthy, the advantage paid. Brisbane in front.
Well, Buddy may not have achieved his much-anticipated milestone. The Swans, though, got their season off to the perfect start against their crosstown rivals. The Gabba continues to be a fortress for the Lions as they took the 4 points against the Power. While at the MCG yesterday, it was the clinical Cats that demolished the Bombers. It came at a cost, though, with Jeremy Cameron taken to hospital. We will have the latest on all of that soon. But for the Bombers, it was a disastrous start to season 2022.
Just a long way off anywhere near our best footy, and it was kind of across the board. You know, I think it's, yeah, something that probably didn't really see it coming. But, yeah, I mean, it was really, really clear what areas we need to hone in on, where we need to get better, and that's the contest stuff, clearance, contest, work rate, contest to contest, a method around the ball. But as I said, it's so far from what we've kind of been doing throughout our training, and it's certainly not what we stand for as a footy club. And it was just strange from some of our more experienced players in particular, that it's a little bit fumbly and, you know, slow to move, which we haven't seen that a lot from them in the. Yeah, well, I thought there was a couple of times throughout the game where we kind of started a match along, but, you know, their level didn't drop off, I don't think, for the whole game. They were really strong in that area, really seasoned, mature guys in there, and there was a couple of stages throughout the game. I thought we matched them for 5 or 10 minute periods, but couldn't get enough kind of momentum to sustain that. And, yeah, it was really difficult to build on any of that momentum and build any scoreboard momentum as well.
Nick Martin, the one shining light for the Bombers after they were demolished by the Cats yesterday. A very disappointed Ben Rutten there after he was blindsided by that performance. The Bombers now to regroup before they face off against the Lions in round two on Saturday next weekend. Welcome to Sunday Crunch Time. It is a beautiful morning here at the MCG. We are coming to you live from the Festival of Footy, and it's a very good morning to our panel for today. I have two very happy Geelong men in Liam Pickering and Josh Jenkins with me. Pickers, welcome to you.
Hello, Ned, and hello to you, to the listening audience, and to JJ. It's a great day, beautiful day in Melbourne, and we're outside enjoying a bit of the festivities here at the MCG. It's fantastic.
It is lovely. JJ, welcome to you. You're coming to us from South Australia today.
I am. Good morning. Good morning to everyone listening. Crunch time on a Sunday. It's got a good ring to it, so hopefully we can keep up with the Saturday crew. But yes, I am here in the SENSA studio, the world's hottest studio. If I wasn't on the video link with you guys, I would be naked in here. It is absolutely Oh, boy. Scorching.
Boy.
On a Sunday
well,
morning.
It's got nothing to do with what you did last night or anything like that and how you're feeling this morning?
No, I was the responsible one who had to get up to the Twins this morning at 7.
Oh,
so I'm actually okay. Feeling really good. But if Hutchie could just put a air conditioner in this new building, 2 King William Street in Adelaide, that'd be great.
I'll give you a little heads up. It's your first one on Crunch Time. Next time, probably be at the ground, not in Adelaide. That'd be a starting point. Working off Broadway, his first appearance. That's
didn't need to. Didn't need to be there yesterday for the Cats boys. They didn't miss me one bit with the performance they put on against the Bombers. That was a demolition.
Very, very, very impressive yesterday. I mean, the Bombers have got a few out, and they'll get better from that, as you would expect, and I think they will as the course of the year goes on, but that was a really, really good performance by the boys in the blue and white hoops.
Yeah, certainly, because I think a lot of the talk, especially after that final against Melbourne last year, that prelim, everyone riding the Cats off, they're old, they're geriatrics, they're never going to go anywhere, the window's closing quickly. They really showed yesterday that they've still got it. Even though they've got that experience, those ageing stars, they've still got it.
When you've got big balls in the middle like Dangerfield and what he did, especially early in the match, I thought he stamped the game with some real strong attack at the footy in the first quarter, and I thought he willed the ball forward. And once they got it in quickly, JJ, it was a whole different looking forward line when the ball gets in quickly and you've got Cameron and Hawkins early in that match.
Oh, there was always a level of confidence about the matchups ahead of the ball for the Cats. You know, Laverde, he fights out of his weight division against Hawkins. You know, James Stewart is I think he's got a good future as a defender, but he hasn't played a lot of AFL footy back there. Ridley's undersized. We know he's an interceptor. So I think the boys were very confident that if they could get some one-on-ones, things would look pretty good for the Cats. And, yeah, albeit losing Jeremy Cameron early in the game, Hawk was just able to get off the leash. And he's just way too big, way too good, and he just understands his game. And I've been thinking about it overnight. I just don't know a key forward or a player in general at his age who continually gets better and better, because his past 3 or 4 years, I think, would be arguably the best of his whole career.
Yeah, aging like a fine wine is Tom Hawkins.
Well, he is, and I think that the beauty of Tom Hawkins is, provided he stays healthy, is he'll continue to play like this, I think, for a number of years still to come, because he doesn't use his pace. I mean, he's got great anticipation with his leading, but it's his body strength, and as JJ said, you know, he knows how to use his body. The players know where to put the ball to him, so he's a real handful. What about the other man up forward who was on fire, really, Jeremy Cameron? What's the latest on him, JJ?
He is okay. So I think the official line is he was cleared of any internal. They take every single precaution these days. And I think the view is, what's the worst that can happen? Or nothing bad can happen from going to hospital. So it looks a little bit dire and a little bit grim. And if you're his family watching on TV, you're probably a little bit worried. But I think he's genuinely come out of it with a bad corky up on his hip pointer, and I've never really, because I don't know whether you had a really, really bad hip pointer in your career, but from what he said last night to me, there's no rib or no issue or anything like that. It was just purely that hip pointer. So I dare say the fact that he was taken to hospital in the ambulance, that could and very well may come up in the team meetings this week.
Yeah. Will he play next week?
Well, you can certainly miss games with bad corkies, particularly on the quick backup. Cats have got the Friday night game against Sydney. So that's a quick backup, got some travel in there. He won't train much or at all. But, he could certainly miss next week, but I think it's far too early to tell. It just depends on how quickly he can sort of get that thing going. But, as I said, the boys will have a bit of fun at his expense, because when you go to hospital for a corky, you've got to pay the price.
Well, everyone has to pay the piper at some stage, JJ. We all know that. Very impressive yesterday was Stengel's first game with the Cats. Oh, he looked really sharp, and he's one of those small forwards. With Grindmyers out at the moment, I mean, he's the sort of player they need in that spot.
4 goals, 3, 20 touches. And his career essentially looked over when he was sacked by the Crows twice for all those off-field incidents, but went away in the sample last year, 44 goals from 19 games, you know, helping Woodville West Torrens to that premiership. I mean, he was excellent yesterday. I reckon he's going to be one of the recruits of the year.
Yeah, I do. I agree. I think he's just going to fit in nicely with what they've got in the taller brigade. Radigalea, Hawkins, obviously Cameron as well, and you need those crummy players. Myers will come back into the team when he's fit, and you have him, and Close plays a really important role. He seemed to be up the ground a bit more yesterday. So now I like what they did with the team. They certainly moved the ball quicker, JJ, forward to centre.
Yeah, I think there's certainly, I think the intention's there most years to start the season and play a bit quicker, but I think it's a genuine intention. And you know, even a shift away, if you look at the coaching staff, you know, Matty Scarlett, he's a sensational defensive-minded coach, but I think there's just a more attacking mindset across the whole coach's box. And give Hawk and give Jezza and, you know, Tyson Stengel's, they've got, the Cats have got great small players, but they're kind of role-playing small forwards pickers. They're not really goal-scoring. You know, they're not probably capable of stepping up and kicking 3, 4, or 5 goals like Stengel did yesterday. So, yeah, he's certainly fit in really nicely. And he showed it a couple of times now. He was really impressive against Richmond in that practice match, kicking 4 goals as well. So, I guess the challenge will be for him as he gets more attention to be able to continue. Not, yeah, we don't expect him to kick 4 every week, but hit the scoreboard and play that pressuring sort of role close to goal next to Hawk.
I want to ask you about Patrick Dangerfield, because 31 disposals is clearly breast on ground, a goal, 8 clearances. Is he back to his best? I know it's one game, but he just looked fresh, fit. Last year, he was just so banged up with those hand and ankle issues. He just looks back.
He's one of the big bull inside midfielders, isn't he? And the other one we saw was Thursday night, was Patrick Cripps. Oh, they just look different when they're fit.
Fit, yeah.
So you look at Paddy Cripps when he's running around like he did, and you could tell in the preseason he was in good nick. And Danger looks exactly the same, and he causes carnage at stoppages. If Dangerfield doesn't get it, I'll tell you what, it's not easy to get it for the opposition. That's the one thing I will say about him. He doesn't get pushed off the ball at all. I thought he looked fantastic. He was clearly the best player on the ground for mine yesterday. Look, he's played at a high level for a long time, so it's not really a surprise for me, but I'm not sure anyone would be doubting that he's still got plenty of good footy left in him.
Were you concerned that his best had passed him by, Pickers? He's a very, very close friend of mine. I was just worried the way he plays. I thought, has he still got the power? Has he still got the burst? He'd never concede it because he's such a competitor. But were you concerned that perhaps his best had just been behind him? It's only one game, but certainly he showed that he can be the dominant midfielder that he's been.
No, I was never concerned. I just think you summed it up. I mean, such a great competitor that, and he's still got his speed. I mean, he's got his speed and he's going to be competing. I mean, he's still going to be a star player and he's going to be one of the best in the competition. So, no, I wasn't concerned at all. I mean, you know, that midfield, you know, the older blokes at Geelong, and they'll get a few back, the Cats. Let's not forget, they've got Menegol, Duncan, Buse. There's a few really good players to come back into that team that's going to strengthen it again. So, fighting for spots this year, there'll be a lot of the periphery type players thinking, hang on a minute, we're in a good team, we're playing pretty well, but someone's got to go out of this team because Duncan's coming straight back in, and so is Buse. There's two coming straight back when they're fit, so when they're past fit to play. So I'm not sure where they're all at, but they're very good. The Bombers, on the other hand, well, they were just off. Yeah, we talked about it yesterday morning, didn't we, JJ, that you thought if the Cats kick 15 goals, there's no way the Bombers would get there. Well, they kicked 11. And they got 5 of them in the last quarter. So their scoring power was always going to be an issue yesterday.
Yeah, it was. And it was on full display. I mean, if you had have said in the lead in, they were going to get 5 from a debutante, you'd think, well, they're a big show here, but they only get 6 from the rest of the team. And not you know, alarm bells aren't quite ringing, but that play on with Ben Rutten, there was certainly some, you know, that caught them, that genuinely caught them off guard yesterday, that performance. And he was talking about some of his more senior players. And when you talk about, when he says, you know, slow to move, that's, I reckon, that's that defensive staff, that inability or slow to make decisions to run and defend. And just watching one of the footy shows earlier, and they're highlighting some of their really senior players, their captain and those guys who just weren't transitioning back the way that they should be and the way that they need to be. And sometimes, you know what, it happened to us actually in round one. We come over here, the Cats, and played against Adelaide in a game we were expected to win, and we were just off and got absolutely blown off the puck. So it can happen early. You can just be that little bit off. But yeah, he was certainly worried, the big truck.
Well, they were overwhelmed. They were overwhelmed early by the aggression of the Geelong midfield, I thought. They just dominated. I mean, Draper's getting his hands on the ball in the middle. They couldn't get a clearance. Yeah. So they got absolutely smashed at stoppage. Look, they'll be all right. They're going to be a good team. I got no doubt.
Well, what are your expectations? Oh,
I think they're going to be in the 8. Yeah, I think they'll make
win a final for the first time in, like,
you know what, Nat? If they're in a final, they'd want to be winning more than one, because I tell you what, all everyone talks about is win a final, but at the end of the day, what's the point of winning a final? You might as well, you either win them and keep going or you don't, you know. So you know, I hear the same about Carlton. Oh, you just got to win a final. Like, why? What's winning a final mean? It doesn't mean anything. It means that then they're out the next week.
Yeah, exactly. Get that momentum. But they've obviously got personnel issues to the Bombers at the moment. No Jake Stringer, still battling a groin injury. He trained yesterday, so I think they are hopeful of getting him back against Brisbane. Obviously kicked 41 goals last season, so it was crucial not having him there. McDonald, Tip and Woody also on the sidelines after taking personal leave earlier in the year. Not quite ready to get back on then, and Kyle Langford does his hamstring.
Yeah, that was that's a bad out, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Kyle Langford, he's a good player for them. So, look, I've got a real big rap on Essendon as a team. I think they've got so much young talent. I think there's still a couple of areas of their game they've got to get a little bit better, but I think the future's bright. I really do. I mean, it's a kick in the guts first up when you get hammered like that. And I've been on the end of hammerings when I was playing, and, you know, team ended up making the grand final. So, yeah, that can happen. You can come
it
out.
Is round one.
It's round one.
You don't want to get carried away. It's just round one. It's one game of football, and it was against a very, very good side.
Correct. And they're playing against a team that's going to be up and around the mark again. We all know that. I think the people that were all saying Geelong too, oh, they're not going to make the finals. I think they're dreaming. I think the Cats will be right in amongst it again. In fact, I'm bullish about this year. I've been having this argument with Benny Lyon, our producer here, who's Mad Melbourne, of course, and all the crap's on about. But in fact, he's put on our WhatsApp page for our Sunday Crunch Time, he put a photo of himself in there in a Melbourne jumper. I mean, it's just... And this is I'm surrounded here, JJ, because you're in Adelaide. I've got no real support. I've got Melbourne to one side. I've got Nat, who went to the Hawthorn open training session during the week, if you can believe it.
Hey. I'm just doing my research.
Apparently
slash,
had
I wanted
Guernsey
to see the
too.
Players.
Had a Hawks jumper on.
Yeah,
always.
Had a Hawthorn jumper on. Then she told me before, and that tells me that when Sue Rioli announced his retirement, she burst into tears.
Of course I did. It was an emotional day, Biggers. It's Cyril.
I do laugh.
I am one of the big nuffies.
Yeah, well, there you go. So everyone's got a leaning to somewhere. And people will be listening, going, are we going to stop crapping on about Geelong? We will. We'll start getting on to the other team shortly.
I do want to talk about Nick Martin.
Excellent.
JJ.
Excellent.
I mean, 5 goals on debut. 25 days ago, he signs with Essendon as an SSP signing. Wasn't even on an AFL list in December. Have you seen a better debut?
Well, I don't know whether we've... Yeah, I'm sure we go back 40, 50, 60, 80 years, there's been debuts as good or better statistically. But this is your space, Pickers. I'm interested in your view on this. Like, I think this speaks to the fact that he was put on their list 25 days ago. It's such a great story, and it's been completely overshadowed because the team got absolutely destroyed. But Pickers, aren't these great stories that perhaps we can have every so often? We're not going to have guys come in and play, you know, play after being on the list for a month and dominate. But players to be able to come in 15 days, 20 days, 2 months before, and play AFL footy and contribute, I think it's fantastic for the game to be able to open it up, because traditionally you had to be drafted in November or whatever and you couldn't play. So I think this is a great story.
It's a fantastic story, I agree, and I think we'll see a little bit more of it. We've had 2 years, remember, of no junior footy, basically, in Victoria for a starting point. So they've played, some of these kids have played 7 games in 2 years. So you're taking it a little bit on what they did when they were 16. The other kids... Even the Jack Hayes scenario, they've been playing footy. And so they're a bit older, no problems. But at the end of the day, they're ready to go. There's plenty of good footballers out there that can step in, give it an opportunity, but it's just very hard. There's not that many draft picks anymore. So this is a mechanism, the SSP and the mid-season draft, where we can find players. You look at that mid-season draft, I can think of two. Will Snelling's one, and the other one is Johnny Noble. Came in 2 years ago. Hardly missed a beat since.
I've been brilliant for Collingwood.
Snelling, I reckon, finished second than the best and fairest for the Bombers last year. So there are different ways to get there. So my view, and this is my advice to all the kids that get overlooked, don't drop your bundle when you're a kid. If you're 18 and you get overlooked and you've hardly played for 2 years, fight it out at the VFL level. The opportunity will come if you work hard enough. So that's the advice that I give to players that get overlooked, because it's not every kid gets drafted at 18 and immediately becomes Buddy
Franklin. But you
all don't
develop at the same rate either. Sometimes
exactly.
It just takes a little bit longer, maturity, life experience, whatever it is.
Yeah, correct.
You know, it takes longer for certain people to get there. I wonder if this is going to be one that comes back to bite West Coast, because Nick Martin actually trained with them last pre-season. He was overlooked for a spot, but geez, you look at their list now and what's going on with no players. It could be another Tim Kelly situation.
Well, the old Italian stallion himself and Rob, Adrian Dodoro and Rob Force tonight, they've found one there with Nick Martin, and Adrian will take all the credit, but I'm sure it's probably Rob that did it, even though Adrian will take the credit.
Oh, Adrian, he's a master.
I want to get that back to him. He's the master.
He's a master. But the important thing is they found a contributor. We will not expect him to have 27 and kick five perhaps ever again, but hopefully they've found a contributor in their front half, because they desperately need some goal-scoring power in that front half. With, you know, they've lost 60 or 65 goals with Hooker and McDonald, Tip and Woody not being there. Stringham will hopefully come back, but they desperately need goal-scoring power, and he's started off in fine fashion.
How many weeks is Stringer away? Will he be back for next week now?
I think they're hoping that he'll be back for next week.
And Tip and Woody's probably still a couple of ways.
Yeah,
he
just needs conditioning.
So, yeah, okay. So he's just got to strip a bit of weight off.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Well, they make a big difference.
Massive.
You throw back Jake Stringer into that side. I think that would have made a difference yesterday, but he's a difficult matchup, Jake Stringer. But and Tip and Woody's a really good player. He's a
so
really
exciting
player.
Last year, he started the year on fire. He was excellent. Sam Draper, any issues for him? Did you see that incident with Asava Radagalia? JJ, he might come under match review office scrutiny there for it. Well, he looked like he's shaped to spoil, but he strikes Asava in the stomach. So I'm not sure how he's going to go with that one.
I reckon this is a good case study early in the season to see how serious they are about stamping out, you know, punching and those sorts of things. Because it's a round arm punch to the guts to someone who's not really expecting that type of contact. So I think, guys from 15, 20 years ago would say, come on, you know, he's open, he deserves, it's an opportunity to make your presence felt. But the AFL and Brad Scott have said they want to stamp out punching. So it will be interesting. I probably think if they are fair income and they want to follow the line, I think they might set a precedence and give him a week for that.
Well, Dougal Howard got a $2,000 fine yesterday. That came out in the match review officer's findings for a similar-ish incident.
That's probably a finable offence for mine, not a suspension.
But if you start suspending players, then you stamp it out.
Yeah, you do.
Because $2,000 means nothing.
Well,
it would to me. Maybe to you.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure how much they're paying you at AFL.com, but jingo.
The thing is, if you want to get rid of it, that's how you get rid of it. If you're dead serious, and you know what, a couple of people have got to pay the price for the rest to learn. I think they can rub him out, but maybe they have set the precedent already with Dougal getting a fine. So yeah, I mean, I guess they do talk tough in terms of punches at the start of the year, and then, you know, the first one that comes up, they get a fine. So maybe it is just a fine. Who knows?
All right, we're going to take a break. On the other side of this, we're going to talk about the Battle of the Bridge. And, buddy, you're listening to Crunch Time for Red Energy. Moving house, call local energy retailer Red Energy and Regional Development Victoria.
You're listening to Crunch Time, brought to you by the Isuzu D-Max. Born to live.
Great to have your company on Crunch Time on this wonderful Sunday morning. It is going to be a brilliant day here at the MCG for Hawthorn and North Melbourne. We will get to that game in the next hour or so. Nat Edwards, Liam Pickering and Josh Jenkins with you. We'll be taking calls all weekend on the Kogan Open Line. Make the call. Switch to Kogan Mobile for $2.90 for 30 days with a big 20 gig of data. I want to talk now about the Battle of the Bridge, because this was an absolutely cracking game, Pickers. That first half, it was raining goals.
Yeah, it was fantastic. They're two really good teams. I mean, the Young Swans and the Young Giants, I mean, they're both pretty young teams. And the Swans with a couple out too. Remember, they lost a couple before the game with COVID concerns, and Josh Kennedy playing off a half-back line. It was a different sort of look that they had in the way they set up the Swans. Oh, full credit to them. I mean, the Giants looked on top probably for the first three quarters, really, and then the Swans got rolling the second part of the third quarter and then the last quarter. It was a belter of a game. It was probably, in my view, it was the best game of the round.
Yeah, so far.
So, and we've had some beauties.
Buddy didn't get the 1,000th mark. He's on 996 goals. Just the one goal yesterday, 8 disposals. Phil Davis, full credit to Phil. We have to take our hats off to him. I thought he was cooked at the end of last year, quite honestly. I wasn't sure he'd go around again. He did a stellar job on Buddy Franklin.
Yeah, he did. And you look at it, you know, I saw the matchup and I thought, nah, Phil, you're going to have your, you're going to have, because I was like you. I thought he was, I thought he was gone last year. I thought he's running around like he's got, you know, a wooden leg. To be honest, he really looked like he was struggling to keep up. But he did a fantastic job on Bud. I think it's all part of the cunning plan. I think he's going to bang four home against the Cats this Friday night at the home ground. That's what I think. JJ, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, let's hope not from our point of view. But yeah, it's going to be a great countdown, isn't it? It would have been nice to have seen him do it in the Battle of the Bridge. But I mean, from the Swans' point of view, they've actually got to be thrilled that they get 16 goals from players other than Lance Franklin. That's the highlight for them. And again, they don't expect 5 goals every week from Luke Parker, but to have some versatility, because you know often it has been Franklin, Papley, or Bust in terms of that forward half when Haney's missed games. So, you know, it's an interesting stat sheet, this one, from a team perspective, because the Giants pretty much won every statistical category, and the ones that they didn't win were pretty much even. They won contested possession, they had more of the footy, they had way more uncontested possessions, they had more marks, and more marks inside 50, but in the end, they just weren't as efficient going inside 50 as the Swans. So the Giants will be a little bit... They've got a lot to come back as well. Pickers, Toby Green, Jesse Hogan, they'll get some firepower back, but it's one that they probably feel got away from them.
Yeah, well, there's a good rivalry building up between those two, as we know. And, yeah, I thought Heaney's just got that factor about him, hasn't he?
He's just
on a big new deal, long-term deal.
X-factor.
He's got that. He's a good player when he goes in the middle of the ground, but he's really a forward, I think, that can play some mid rather than the other way around. And he's so dangerous forward of the ball because he's a really tricky matchup because he's got good pace, very good overhead, and he knows where the goals are.
Ollie Florence, the other one for mine too. JJ, 3 goals for him as well. I mean, it's just a luxury to have, you know, those guys going forward as well, kicking goals, and Luke Parker just sitting there, I'm going to rest up forward and kick 5 goals.
Yeah, they've got a wealth of young. They're all sort of similar size, similar stature, but they're crafty, they're clever. They've got a great development program up there. They bring their young guys through, and they have three. They never just have one or two. They've always got 3, 4, or 5 who come through and really make an impact. The other guy that needs a mention, and we spoke about him a fair bit last year, he's the best value recruit across the past few years, Tom Hickey in the ruck. Another 16 disposals. He had 7 clearances, 33 hitouts. He was completely gone a few times. Talk about Phil Davis being gone from a health perspective, but Tom Hickey has had a few goes at different clubs and has looked, you know, down and out on multiple occasions. He is a genuine number one ruck at the Swans, and again yesterday he was so impactful with 16 touches and 33 hitouts.
Well, he's been a big recruit for them, there's no doubt about that. He's usually a first year performer. He's like a horse, good horse first up. His first year at every club he's been at has been excellent.
Yep.
And then he's sort of fallen away, but it looks like he's really going to put his foot down. I know he's a very popular player internally at the club. Looking at the Swans, I don't think there's a better group of young ones than they've got in the AFL than the Swans. And you just flick through them. Rowbottom is going to be a beauty. Florent, as you mentioned, Nick Blakey, Gould, and Mills are still young. Campbell, Stevens, McInerney's a really good player. McDonald's going to be a star. I just think, and then you're throwing Warner and these guys that weren't playing. Look, I just think they've got so much to work with. It's so exciting. I reckon they'll get a full house next week at the SCG. I honestly reckon they'll get nearly 50,000 there.
Well, it was a little disappointing to only have 25, wasn't it, there yesterday, JJ?
Well, I thought we were done with that stadium. What's the go there, Nat? How come we're playing footy back out at Stadium Australia or whatever it's called? What's the go there?
I have no idea. It was an interesting choice. I would have preferred to play at the SCG, I think, if I was the Swans.
Well, but it was there. Was it the Giants' home game?
Yeah, it was the Giants' home game.
But why wouldn't they use Giant Stadium?
That's right. It can still accommodate. I think you can get up around 25,000 in that stadium. Yeah. Can they not? Like, as a player, Pickers, it doesn't matter. Like, MCG is a great place to play footy, but you'd rather play at a stadium, you know, you'd rather play at Optus Oval in a full house than play at the MCG when it's got 20,000 in the house. Like, you want to play in stadiums that are full, no matter how small they are. So yeah, it seemed like a really strange fixturing decision, that one. But I'm sure there's a commercial reality there.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure what the reason is. And I honestly don't know. But all I know is that they are playing at the SCG. They're playing against the Cats, and they're playing it, I think, in front of, they'll get 40,000 to 50,000 next week.
So you're tipping Buddy's going to get 4 goals next week. JJ, what are you thinking? Because I feel like it's going to be Marvel Stadium, round 3 against the Dogs, and it'll be shades back to, you know, 2008. 8 where everyone ran on to Mup. I was there, by the way.
I didn't run on. I was there.
What do you reckon?
He averages 3 point something a game. So the law of averages would suggest he'll be there or thereabouts. And he'll be fired up by the fact that, you know, we're talking about the fact that Phil Davis took his number yesterday. So, yeah, he'll be fired up. I think he's had a pretty good record against the Cats, because you probably know better than me. But
I'm not so sure his record against the Cats is that good. Tom Lonergan normally.
Well,
it's going to be tricky because Tom's been retired for 4 years now. But I'd say that Blixarves will play on him, or maybe Jack Henry even. You know, Jack was a bit fumbly yesterday, but I think he's maybe an option. Or young De Conning might get the chance.
He'll be out with concussion.
He's got the concussion.
He'll miss. He'll miss, going into the concussion protocols, which is a shame because everyone was so keen to see him get a game in round one and really assert himself. And he did a couple of things early yesterday. I thought, you just belong at the level. You look like you're going to be a long-term player. So that's a shame for him. But he'll get over that and come back, hopefully.
Well, I'll tell you what, if Bud kicks a couple early, the crowd will build. If word gets around down there in Oxford Street, hang on, the big dog's got a couple in the first quarter.
But what I liked is that Sydney wasn't too buddy conscious yesterday. There were a couple of moments where they've looked up, they've seen him, and then thought, nah, I'm not going that option. And I think it was Braden Campbell just went for goal himself and kicked one.
It's difficult to do, though, because I remember speaking to Clarko about this. He said he's such a presence when he comes out, he puts his arms out and he's on the lead. All you see is buddy. So he sort of demands the ball. So players look up in the middle of the ground, they just kick to what they see. And they see a big 6'6" arm span guy running flat out at them, so they kick it to him. But they were not as focused yesterday on him as they normally are.
Hey, we spoke earlier about Patrick Cripps and Patrick Dangerfield, two big-bodied midfielders. Tom Green at the Giants, 31 disposals, 2 goals. I just love this kid. He is a man mountain. And he actually went in the ruck at one point yesterday, which just made me laugh. But he was everywhere. He is going to be a star.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I think that's the beauty of the Giants midfield is, he's had to work for his spot, hasn't he? Because they've got so many others in there and so many real quality players. You look at Taranto and Hopper and Cornelio and obviously Kelly and these guys, Whitfield. So he's been made to work for his spot, but you're right, he's a difficult matchup because he's so tall. That's the other thing. He's a first possession player. He has got a bit of Cripps about him. If he ends up being as good as Cripps, he'll be very, very happy.
Yeah, no, he's certainly one to watch for the Giants for mine. JJ, what did you make of the Giants forward line? I know we talked about the inefficiency going in there. I think in the last half, they only converted like 13% of their inside 50s into goals. But obviously, Toby Green's missing. But Tim Taranto spent a little bit more time up there. Probably not the best kick at goal yesterday. What have you made of their other options? Because you can't solely rely on Toby Green and Jesse Hogan, given Jesse is so unreliable with his body.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be a work in progress for them. And like the Bombers, they'll probably have to manufacture goals. They'll rely heavily on goals from their midfield. They don't typically get many goals from the ruck. It's always handy if you can get one or two goals from your two ruckmen per game. But they're going to have to manufacture goals. So, Josh Kelly's going to need to kick goals. Stephen Coniglio, at his absolute best, we think back to 2 or 3 years ago, he would sort of be a run with midfielder. And then he'd go to full forward and play a little bit of... He'd play a bit, one out for periods of the game, pickers. And he'd be a really awkward matchup. He'd kick one off the ground or he'd outbody someone and take a mark. So... things like that, I would presume they're going to have to rely upon until some of their guns come back or some of their younger forwards develop.
Well, they had those two, the taller players, but they've lost one of them to Port Adelaide, of course, Finlayson. But Himmelberg's the other one. He's kicked 3 yesterday.
So, he was good.
Yeah, he's not a big forward, but he is a taller forward. But he's not your real big forward. So Matt Flynn can go down there and take a mark every now and then.
What about Riccardi? Where do you think he's at?
Oh, I don't mind Riccardi, but again, they're sort of like your 6'4"s. Yeah. They're not the big bulking forwards, which means that, as JJ said, you put Toby Green back in the forward line. It looks a whole lot better already. And then you put Jesse Hogan into the forward line as well. Then all of a sudden you've got a different looking forward line. Coniglio is a difficult matchup, but he's just not quite the Coniglio he was from 3 years ago. As a player, and I think he'll get that back once he gets into the midfield a bit more, but it's just difficult getting midfield time because they've got so many of them.
Yeah, they certainly do. They're very, very spoilt for choice. And we can't forget Nick Haynes didn't play yesterday either for the Giants.
He's one of their best players.
He's got, you know, that stomach issue, which has come up. They're having to do a little bit more investigation. Apparently, it's been bothering him for the last 4 or 5 weeks.
Is that right? Okay. Yeah, well, he's a very, very talented player. He's
They missed him dearly.
He's an All-Australian at halfback, isn't he? Yeah. Now, I would think if you were saying who's the... He'd be in the top five players at the club, in my view. And they've got some real good players, like Toby Green, not one, clearly. Kelly, him. I mean, you go through them, they've got some really talented players. But I'd have Nick Haynes certainly in the top five.
JJ, where do you see the Giants this year? Like, what are your expectations for them?
It's a hard one, isn't it? Yeah, there's a fair few that seem like they're going to be hard to get a read on. They've kicked a winning score yesterday. Let's not forget. They've done enough to win the game, but they just haven't been able to do so.
No, they didn't kick a winning score. No, they kicked 13 goals and the opposition kicked 17. JJ, and just a heads up, that's not a winning score.
Well, if they kick that many most weeks as defences start to improve, they're gonna win enough games doing that. But I really don't know. I just had a look through their list and they just don't have key forwards on their list. So much is going to fall upon the shoulders of. We know Green, and Green will come to the fore. He'll do his thing. He'll be around the mark as an All-Australian sort of medium-sized forward. But so much is going to fall on Jesse Hogan. So maybe their fortunes actually will rest on the shoulders of whether Hogan's body and form can stand up, because they just don't have a lot on their list that can sort of come in and kick 35 or 40 goals. Maybe Himmelberg can, but he hasn't traditionally been a high or a large goal scorer. So, yeah, they're going to be a good side, but I just wonder what it looks like for them going forward.
Well, Jesse might be back in round two. I think he played an hour in a VFL pracky match yesterday, and it's just more that soft tissue soreness, I believe. So he might be back.
But Richmond next week too. Ooh. He'll be trying to bounce back strongly after.
Yeah, but you wouldn't rush him. Not Jesse Hogan.
No, you wouldn't. You're going to be cautious. Gee, you're playing the Tigers. One of the teams is going to be Norton too after two games. It's not the start you really want. It's Richmond and Giants at the MCG.
Ooh.
They've got some horrible memories of playing them. Oh, Richmond at the MCG.
I think they've erased those from their memory. All right, you're listening to Crunch Time for Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops. Answer the camel's call. Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops will be back after this quick break to chat about all things Brisbane, Port Adelaide.
You're listening to Crunch Time, brought to you by Isuzu. Go your own way with the 3-litre Isuzu D-Max and extraordinary 7-seat MUX.
Hope you've been enjoying round one of the 2022 AFL season. Nat Edwards, Liam Pickering and Josh Jenkins here for Buy My Stock. Got excess stock? Visit buymystock.com.au. Brisbane and Port Adelaide last night. And I'm starting to watch this game thinking, oh my goodness, this after watching Sydney GWS, JJ, I was thinking to myself, I can't believe we're backing up with this game. It was a tough start, slippery, tough conditions as well at the Gabba. But the Lions, their 28th win at the Gabba out of their past 32 encounters there. It just continues to be a fortress for them, doesn't it?
Indeed, it's a tough place to play the Gabba, particularly at this time of year when it's still warm and slippery. It's basically a wet game, and I think that was the only thing that sort of was a bit of a setback. It sort of came into round one thinking this is the sneaky sort of good game of the or best game of the round, and a lot of the focus was on the Wednesday Thursday night games. But these are two premiership aspirants. I just wonder about Port Adelaide. Do they always need things to be absolutely perfect for them to capitalise? Do they do enough winning when the circumstances are against them? You know, 4 from 32 at the Gabba. Like, are they a team who can really go and win a game on the road or win in a big game and win in a big spot and do enough just to get over the hump? That's what worries me, or that's what I'm questioning with the Power.
We can understand why you would be questioning that, because their record at the Gabba is horrendous. And I heard one of their players talk about during the week, we haven't got a great record up there. Well, they were in a winning position. They blew it, really. They were 24 points up during the third quarter, and they ended up falling away, and the Brisbane got hold of them. So, yeah, questions to be asked again about the Power's ability to win against good teams on the road. I think they're a good team. I think they're a good home and away team. They're very hard to beat in Adelaide, but they've got to start pulling a couple of those wins out against quality opposition on the road.
Yeah.
Like, you know, go and beat, you know, Sydney at Sydney. Go and beat Geelong at Geelong. You know, come to Melbourne and the MCG and beat Richmond or beat Essendon or beat, you know, one of the big teams. So, yeah. So, look, I mean, I think they're going to still be around the mark. Port Adelaide, but it's round one. You know, I think overall the effort was pretty good, but they didn't get it done when they had the opportunity to.
Well, I think the main concern for Port Adelaide, if you're, you know, Ken Hinckley, was the injuries that came out of last night's game, because, as you say, they did put in a performance, just falling away late in that game. I think maybe a bit of fatigue played a part in that, given it was round one. But Trent McKenzie stretched it off with what looked to be a serious knee injury. I think at this stage an ACL has been ruled out. That's what Ken kind of intimated in his press conference. Yep. That's what they're hopeful of. It's not the worst. But Xavier Dersma, collarbone injury as well. And then you had Connor Rosie, I think, rolled an ankle. Alir at one point came off with a foot issue as well. So they're a little bit banged up, and it's only round one.
Not an ideal way to start when you're losing players on the way through. But Port Adelaide next week, where do they go? Port Adelaide, they've got Hawthorn at home. They'll win that next Saturday night, you'd think.
Sorry, Nat.
I think they'll win that at home next Saturday night.
Walks off. Come on, Piggy.
Well, I just think that they might struggle against Port Adelaide at home.
Just slightly.
But, yeah, look, I mean, they can bounce back. I mean, it's a long season. We know it's round one, and we dissect round one like it's life and death, really. It's one of 22, so... yeah, you want to get away to a good start. And, yeah, we're going to question teams and put in a shocker. Port didn't put a shocker in.
No.
They just fell away at the end, and they lost players along the way. So they'll bounce back pretty hard, I would have thought, next week.
JJ, I want to talk to you about Joe Danaher, because we absolutely love what he's able to produce. Four goals last night. He took an absolute hanger just before halftime. He was about 10 metres out, directly in front, and then he handballs to Nakia Cockatoo as the siren went. There were 3 seconds left, and everyone's just sitting there going, that probably just sums up Joe Danaher. Brilliance and then a little bit of, you know, silliness on the side.
I'm going to be semi-serious just for a moment. It actually sums up Brisbane, and it is the question mark that I think a lot of us, but I certainly have over Brisbane, is their composure and ability to think their way through those situations. They've kicked inaccurately in a lot of big games and a lot of finals, and it's cost them finals, particularly at home. And you've just Joe, maybe he's come down from that high, he's taken a big screamer, and you can understand him being a little bit excited and potentially seeing Nakia Cockatoo, someone that they want to bring into the game as much as possible. But what about the four teammates standing around him, screaming at him, saying, take your shot, take your 30, just go back and have a shot. Like, they must look up and see 30 minutes gone, 29 minutes gone, and think, well, it's not long enough. Well, there mightn't be long to go at all, and that's what happens. And in all seriousness, Pickers, if they had have lost that game by a few points or a goal and a half, we'd be actually thinking, what on God's green earth was he doing? We can smile about it, and he can smile about it because they won. But if they didn't win, it would have been pretty serious.
Well, I'm not sure what Chris Fagan would have said to him. He's such a friendly, likable sort of guy, Joe Danaher. He's always got a smile on his dial, and I'm sure they probably went, bloody hell, Joe, that's just Joe doing Joe things. Yeah. But, yeah, it can be really costly when you're not really tuned into the time of the game. I mean, as a player, you've got to know how long there is to go. You've got to have sense what the right thing to do is. And as you said, his teammates were saying to him, just go back and kick the goal. He was at the top of the goal square. Like, it wasn't like he was 25 metres out. There might be a little bit of, well, you know what, I'd rather give it to Nakia. I think what you're saying is right, JJ. I think he was probably more happy to get Nakia into the game. But as much as anything, it's probably, look, do I trust myself from here? He has got the ability to miss a few.
Yeah, look, I mean, Joe Danaher, though, you can't help but love him.
I'm a big fan.
You just can't. I mean, he does that. I don't reckon he does that again for the rest of the season. I think he's probably learnt his lesson, that's for sure. Imagine what this Brisbane forward line is going to look like, though, when Eric Hipwood comes back into the side.
Well, he won't be back this year, will he, surely?
No, I reckon, because what was it, May that he did it last year? Was it later?
I think it was just before the finals.
Was it later than that?
I reckon if he comes back, look, they...
Late,
I think
maybe
it'll be late
finals?
Seasons. I don't think I wouldn't be holding my head on him doing too much this year, coming off a knee. You know, that's my personal view.
Yeah. Adam Tomlinson comes back in 10 months, so you never know. Sorry, JJ.
They looked okay with the two rucks. I know Chris Fagan's been keen on that two ruck sort of having, you know, they played Steph Martin and Oscar McInerney. Darcy fought in his first game for the Lions. He only had 6 touches, but he hit the scoreboard. He kicked a couple of goals, and they dominated the hitouts. I think they had 60 hitouts or 50 hitouts to about 26 from Port Adelaide. So, you know, maybe without Hipwood, it allows Danaher not to have to go into the ruck. He's the primary key forward, and then they can play those two rucks, which is not something many teams like to do, but Brisbane certainly have liked to have played those two rucks. And great to see an ex-teammate of mine, Darcy Fort, getting an opportunity as well.
How do you reckon he'll go up there, Darcy Fort? He struggled for opportunities here. The Cats were keen to keep him. In the end, the opportunity to go and be the number two at Brisbane and more opportunity is the reason he left.
Yeah, I think he just was starved of opportunity. The Cats certainly prioritised big Reece Stanley and Asava Radigalia ahead of him. He's just the ultimate team guy. He never got down on himself. He never sulked. He trains incredibly hard. So I'd imagine, spoke to Charlie Cameron about him not long ago, and they just love his competitiveness, and he just turns up for work and puts the hard hat on every day. And it's great to see him getting an opportunity. And a lot of ruckmen can't do much as forwards, and I think he's one who actually can just do enough as a forward to say, when you go there on match committee on a Wednesday and put the magnets up, you think, you know what, we can put him in a forward pocket and we can get a goal a game out of him. So it's good to see him getting his opportunity.
They're the players that the clubs are, they're in demand everywhere. Ruckmen that can go forward,
yep.
Big forwards that can also do a bit of pinch hitting in the ruck. That's what every club wants. That's why you saw in the mid-season draft last year, every big bloke in Australia that was available got picked up, basically. I mean, that's the reality. Yeah. So, yeah, there'll be opportunities for Darcy up there, and every club seems to want to play two ruckmen at the moment.
The other good story, of course, for Brisbane last night is just seeing Cam Rayner back out there. Look, quiet, 13 touches, two behinds, but he's someone that certainly I feel is going to build over the next month.
So he's come off a full year of a knee recovery, though, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So he's a fair way
ahead
of Hippie, I would have thought. But he's going to be a good player, there's no doubt about that. So now they're an exciting team, Brisbane. I mean, I saw a lot of people have seen them as, you know, put them down as the experts have put them down as the premiership fancies, and they should be. I mean, they're running out of excuses, Brisbane.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, they've got all these number one draft picks and first round draft picks.
Can't go out in straight sets again.
No, they're all in a good age bracket. They've recruited and brought in good players from other clubs. There's no real excuses left for them, is there? I don't think.
No, I agree. And I've got them making a grand final, runners up to Melbourne. That was my crystal ball prediction on AFL.com.au. But I think they'll be right up there again.
They'll be around the top four for mine. I'm not as bullish on them as other people are, but they're very talented. Just still wondering those big games where they can really hold for the four quarters. That's my only bit of a concern on the Lions.
JJ, what about Mitch Robinson? Is he in trouble for his bump on Xavier Dersmer? Obviously, Dersmer didn't return to the field, injured his collarbone. It's a football action. I'm not sure about this one.
This is a weird one. I probably think he's in trouble as well here. I think I was one out against you two with the Sam Draper one, but I think he's probably in trouble for this one as well, based largely on what happened to Dersmer, who subbed out of the game, and I believe he's pretty much worse for wear. So I think Mitch might be in trouble there as well.
Jeez, you're bloody rubbing players out today, aren't we?
Split-second decision. It's a really hard one. It could be a 1 week for careless high impact to the body. That is the first hour of Crunch Time done, and Dustin will be back after this with plenty more.
Brought to you by Isuzu. Go your own way with the 3-litre Isuzu D-Max and extraordinary 7-seat MUX. Welcome to Crunch Time. Brought to you by the Isuzu D-Max. Born to live.
Great to have your company on Crunch Time on this Sunday. We are coming to you live from the MCG and the Festival of Footy ahead of what is going to be a cracking game here at the home of football between Hawthorn and North Melbourne. Plenty of things to chat about. This is the pre-game show for Thirsty Camel. Answer the Camel's call. Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops. Nat Edwards, Liam Pickering and Josh Jenkins with you. And JJ, gosh, there's plenty to talk about ahead of today's game. We will get to that in just a moment. But I want to wind the clock back to Wednesday night. We actually had a game, Melbourne and the Bulldogs, that grand final rematch. It seems like a lifetime ago. But your takeaway from that game?
There was a game of footy. With everything that's happened, I guess, in the fallout, it's easy to forget there was a game of footy played. There was a grand final rematch on Wednesday evening. Oh, look, I think the D's, we know they want for nothing. They're just laden with talent from head to toe. They've got two powerful and versatile ruckmen in Max Gorn and Luke Jackson. Ben Brown, I think he can win the Coleman this year. He's going to get great opportunity. He looks fit. The back end of last year, you know, at about round 10 last year, he would have been thinking, God, what have I done here? I can't even get a game. And then he goes and plays a major part in them winning a premiership. So I think he'll just kick on this year. They just, yeah, that midfield unit of Gawn / Jackson. It's not just Gawn now, it's Gawn / Jackson. I reckon they certainly think about, geez, we'd love to get Jackson in the middle more, but we've got the number one ruck in the game as well. Petrarca and Oliver, they are just a beast, that trio. And then they've got their role players that run the wing. So Melbourne want for nothing. The Dogs will be okay, but the loss of Josh Bruce, unless they can find a way to cover that, it's just way, way too much is going to be left on the shoulders of Aaron Norton. And, I don't think we yet can expect too much from Jamara Ugle-Hagan. No. He's just not ready yet. I think we can understand that and appreciate the fact that he's a young, whether he's ever going to be a key forward or whether he's going to be sort of that hybrid forward like a Lance Franklin, we're not sure. But until they find someone to be able to partner Norton, I think they're just going to be off those absolute elite teams.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Aaron Norton certainly is such an exciting player, but he can't carry the load up there by himself. Look, we mentioned Hawthorn and North Melbourne here at the MCG. It is a perfect day for football, maybe slightly too hot if you're actually running out there on the field. But Chris Newman, assistant coach at the Hawks, has been good enough to join us on Crunch Time. Welcome to you, Chris.
Hello, team. How are we?
We're going well, thank you. How's the vibe amongst the group at round one? I'm sure everyone's excited. You got a couple of debuts to look at today. But what's the feeling around the club and in the rooms at the moment?
Yeah, a great feel. Round one footy and, as you said before, beautiful day at the MCG. I'm sure with a couple of boys that haven't played many games and some in their first game, it might have been a bit of a sleepless night last night, but hopefully they got enough rest to be able to have enough energy to perform today. But, real excitement. You do a lot of planning in the pre-season and you have some trial games, but, this is where the real action starts. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, it certainly does. I know lots of Hawks fans are looking forward to seeing the likes of Josh Ward and Connor McDonald make their AFL debuts. Just talk us through what their pre-seasons have been like and what's impressed you the most. I saw some clips of Connor in particular in one of the scratch matches. I think it was an intra-club and, geez, he looked impressive in parts. And we all know what Josh Ward, what his credentials are coming at that pick 7 in the draft. Just talk us through what's impressed you most about these two youngsters.
Football aside, I think the one thing that I've been really impressed with is that they're just both, really good human beings and really good personalities to bring into the club. They've gone about it the right way. They're quite confident and they'll speak up when they need to and ask questions. And the way they've trained has been outstanding for any young player that walks into an AFL environment. It can be quite daunting, but, they both haven't looked out of place. And quite often they're the ones that are after training doing some of the extras and trying to hone their craft. So, yeah, they've both been really impressive on and off the field, both sort of playing different positions throughout the pre-season trying to find their way. But the one thing that we love about them off field is they're great great individuals and great kids, and on field their work rate is something that you need at AFL level. They both work hard, they both find the footy in their and they can both create for us at playing different positions. So impressive so far, and a lot of growth ahead of them.
Chris, good luck this afternoon. Josh Jenkins here. I know it must be difficult with losing Ben McAvoy and Luke Bruce, but you must be also thrilled with such a young team. You've got an incredibly young side going in today, but to get James Sicily and Jack Gunston into the lineup, that must give the group great confidence because, Sicily, we know how good and how creative he is from the back half, and Jack Gunston's resume speaks for itself. So it must be good to, whilst you do lose two, you do gain two as well.
Yeah, spot on, Josh. It's I think this is the youngest team that we've fielded since 2005. So we've got around 14 or 15 players that are under the age of 23, and when you add some of that experience around them, like James Sicily and Jack Gunston. That's only going to help these younger guys and the way they perform. So, I think with any team, if you have a really solid mix of young of youth coming through and getting games in and experiencing what AFL football is like. When you mix that with some experience around them, it'll only hopefully fast-track their development. So great for those two lads, Gunston and Sicily in particular, sort of had a long road and a lot of football spent on the sidelines. But they've had impact in other ways with their leadership, and it's great. Obviously, I'm the defensive coach, so it's good to see James back there and doing his thing. And also, Jack Ford will provide a real target for us, and his leadership, as you mentioned before, will be really, really critical.
He's going to be thrust straight into the action, Mr. Sicily, as well, because the Roos have picked a pretty tall side. We've got Coleman Jones, Larky. We know how good he is as a forward as well. So they're going to be pretty tall across the board, the Roos up forward. So your tall defenders are going to have their work cut out for them.
Yeah, definitely. That's one thing that will be a major strength of theirs. They're playing some pretty good football early. They've shown some the ability to move the football forward and quite quickly, and when they get an opportunity, particularly 1v1 with those talls, they're a real threat forward. So the aerial battle will be really important for us at both ends, I feel. And as I said, that the ability for the experience like James to help some of the younger guys, perhaps like Granger Barris behind the footy, will be really important. But hopefully we defend together as a team today and not leave too many 1v1s.
Sam Mitchell's first game officially in charge today. I'm sure there's a few nerves about, but he's probably mostly excited. Can you talk us through what and how he's gone about stamping his own mark on this side so far?
Yeah, I'm sure he's pretty nervous. It's not that you could tell, unless he's got a pretty strong poker face, but he's been outstanding throughout this preseason to come into his first opportunity as a senior coach, and the way he's helped and tried to develop not only the younger guys but everyone on the list, and I think that's the most impressive thing. We've got a real environment of development and learning, not only for players but coaches as well. And I think the thing that does help is some fresh faces that come into the coaching panel and some fresh ideas with Robert Harvey, David Hale and Adrian Hicknott, to be able to assist Sam and make him feel as comfortable as possible in his first role. But I'm really excited for him and hopefully we can help him out today.
What are the expectations? I mean, I'm not sure if you set, wins, losses, the pass mark and all of the like. Hearing Jeffrey Kennett, the president, speaking a couple of times in the last few weeks, he's called for patience, and Sam's done a similar thing. It's, I guess, a little bit of talk about a couple of years of pain for Hawks fans before this list gets really going. What are the expectations internally?
Yeah, well, premierships aren't built overnight, and we understand that. We need to get as many games into some of the younger players as possible, and we need to balance that out with earning the right to be able to play too. And as I said before, the youngest team since 2005, which is a great excitement, and hopefully the Hawks fans are excited by seeing some of the young talent on display today and in the future. We certainly won't set any pass marks this year. We want to try and really focus on that development, not only for younger players but older players too. Still feel like there's a lot to learn in the game. So, that excitement hopefully filters through the fans, but also filters through our playing group today, and hopefully showcase what we've tried to implement over the preseason.
For Hawks fans headed to the MCG, might be listening to us right now. What sort of game style should we expect to see? What sort of things in the first 10 or 15 minutes of this round one clash? If you see these things happen, you'll know the Hawks are playing how they want to play.
Yeah, well, I think with any, particularly round one, I think it gets, the heat comes on even more, but you could see some of the games that have been played so far, the teams that have been able to handle the pressure and be able to move the ball as quickly as possible forward are the teams that look like the most potent to be able to score. So I think handling the pressure will be a big one, and not only handling the pressure but inflicting some of that pressure onto the opposition. So that'll be our focus nice and early, just try and be on the front foot and invoke a fair bit of pressure on the opposition, as they will to us. But our ability to put pressure on and absorb it will be really, really important in this game.
Will Day, one of my favourites to watch for the Hawks. Is he playing VFL for Box Hill? Is that right? He's obviously had that ankle issue. Where's he at?
Yeah, he is playing his first game today. So he's playing for Box Hill today. And he'll play, I'm not sure about his minutes. It probably won't be a full game time, but I'm sure there's enough minutes there to be able to get some match conditioning into him. He's had a fairly interrupted pre-season, obviously, and lefty's run a little bit late to be able to put his hand up for this game. But, he's obviously one of those younger players that we'd love to be able to get onto the field as much as possible. He provides a lot of poise with the footy and has showed some leadership qualities when he plays. So, we look forward to getting Will back. When that is, we're not too sure, but hopefully he gets through today unscathed and gets a few touches under his belt and gets the right match conditioning in.
Former teammate of mine, Kyle Hardigan, settled in, obviously played at the Hawks last year, but he's just been a great addition for your group. He's not the flashiest guy getting around, and he misses a few 8-metre targets every now and then. And again, but he's been a staunch defender. He always takes the number one defender. You must be thrilled with what he's brought to the club.
Yeah, so Kyle's one of those players that, you're right, the biggest thing that he brings to the group is his ability to be able to just do his role. And we don't expect the flashy things out of Kyle. He's a big brute of a lad, and he's able to take some of the bigger players, the Tom Hawken types of players in the opposition team. Unfortunately, he's not in the team today, but the amount of leadership that he brings our group and the amount of physicality that he shows is going to be really important for our group going forward.
Tom Phillips named as an emergency today. Where's he at? Is there an area of his game that he sort of needs to work on to break into this side? It's obviously a very young side, as we've mentioned a few times.
Yeah, so Tom's had a pretty solid pre-season. We've been really happy with the way he's presented himself, and one of the strengths that we knew with Tom is his running ability, and certainly from day one he came back in good shape, and he gave himself the best opportunity to have the best possible pre-season. And one of those problems in match committee where there's a lot of players putting their hand up throughout that midfield and a lot of young talent. So, unfortunately, didn't earn him the right to play in the starting 22. But he's right on the verge of playing with us, and he'll get that 23rd opportunity. Hopefully, there's no injuries, but he's right thereabouts.
Okay, no worries. Well, Chris, thank you so much for joining us on Sunday Crunch Time, and best of luck for the game ahead.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Chris Newman there, assistant coach at the Hawks, in charge of the back line there. I'm looking forward to this game, JJ. I actually think it's going to be a really good one, because you think about North Melbourne as well and Jason Horne-Francis. So much excitement about seeing a number one draft pick get out there. And, gee, he is a talent.
Yeah, he certainly is. He's been lighting up the SANFL for South Adelaide for a year or so. So, yeah, I really... And now, it's a little bit foolish to make declarations in round one, but we did speak to Chris Newman. But I really think... I'd be really disappointed if North didn't win this game. I think they've got some threats ahead of the ball. The Hawks will really miss Bruce, and particularly McAvoy, the skipper. So, yeah, I really... So we'll talk about this game in depth a little bit more soon, but if some of their new players, Coleman Jones and Horne-Francis and Hugh Greenwood, can make an impact, I think this game's set beautifully up for the Roos to get off to a nice start. Sorry to say, Nat.
That's okay. I'm probably thinking that the Hawks might be in for a world of pain for the next 12 months or so, Pickers.
Well, I don't know, Nat. You're about an hour away from getting your full nuff on. you get your horse on. She's waving it, but like Nat's waving at people as they walk past because she knows that's part of the nuff brigade that she's in. That were your mates for
sure.
At my
reserve seat.
They're in your
reserve
seating area. Right. There you are. We're ready to go. She's got her scarf here. She's all ready to roll. So Oh, look, there's not much between these two teams, I wouldn't think. No. I mean, I've selected North Melbourne, you know, to put the tips in on Tuesday.
So
I went for North. You didn't select North, surely?
I don't know. I did.
Did you really?
Yeah, I've tipped Hawthorn for the wooden spoon.
Oh, jeez.
JJ?
Brutal.
Interesting. Now, we shouldn't make too much of who starts on the bench and those sorts of things in modern footy pickers, but Todd Goldstein, I think, is officially going to start on the bench. I think the official interchanges have come through. So a bit of a changing of the guard. I know Sammy Edmund was pretty strong, saying that Coleman Jones has come to North to be the number one ruckman, and they're very happy with the progress of Cherry as well. So Goldstein's going to start on the bench and might have to play forward a little bit more. So that'll be something to follow.
Yeah, I've been noticing that. I'm not convinced. I think Goldie's a ruckman that can occasionally go forward rather than the other way around. Whereas I think Coleman might be the forward that can play occasionally in the ruck. So it'll even itself out, I think, throughout the course of the season. But give him first crack. He's a new recruit. Show us what you can do. But they know they've got Goldie, and they know what Goldie can do. And his last few years have been terrific.
I want to go back to Thursday night. Carlton and Richmond. Carlton finally getting a win after what was like 11 games. That was the losing streak that they snapped against the Tigers. Really exciting game. Great to be back at the MCG. Came down for that one. About 70,000 people. But the Blues, so much optimism. I think around some Blues fans, the lid is completely off.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, well, it's been a long time. It's been on for a long time. They had to get the welder out to get it off. But anyway, they were very good. They were excellent. They really were. Their midfield was just dominant. But I haven't seen Richmond get owned out of the middle like that for a long, long time. And, yeah, led by Cripps, but also Chera was really important. And then you look at the other guys in there. George Hewitt was good. Matty Kennedy was excellent. So, gee, if they can keep that level of competitiveness in the middle of the ground, they're going to give themselves a chance, because they did that without Harry Mackay and Charlie Kuhnert really getting rolling. So, I like the pressure their forwards put on. And their defence, led by Wiedering, is always going to be strong. So, I know that without Liam Jones now, but McConnell didn't do a bad job. So, yeah, that'll be the area that they'll have to be still a little bit careful of, making sure they get enough numbers back to help out their defence.
JJ, my question for you is the Tigers and their midfield, because the midfielders just didn't have the impact they would have liked to. Dustin Martin, 21 touches, Pickett, 18, Baker, 14, Trent Cotchin, 14 touches, same with Shane Edwards. And then, of course, Dion Prestia goes off injured again. He's only played the 18 games in the last two seasons. Where do you see Richmond's midfield at the moment, and is the depth there?
Well, they lost Prestia mid-game or early in the game.
Yeah.
That's an enormous loss, because he's the one that's got great foot speed and great agility around the footy. He's got great speed and he's got great quickness. So they're going to miss him. But the one they miss as well is Lambert, because he's that...
Yep.
We call him a role player, but he's better than a role player. He's a really damaging, hard-running player. He runs both ways. He sort of gets back and helps defend a lot. So until they get Prestia and Lambert back in the side, I think they're going to really be stretched around the footy. Cotchin sort of looked like he tried to go to Cripps at different stages, and we know Cripps was dominant, so that probably didn't work. So, they're going to be a bit of a... They're going to be a watch this space pick as Richmond, because you can certainly make the case that their good players are heavily relied upon, and perhaps they're sort of on the downward slope. So you can certainly mount that case.
Well, they've mounted the case against Geelong, and I wouldn't be writing Richmond off by any stretch. I think they can bounce back.
No.
I think they'll bounce back next weekend. But, yeah, there were some issues around the ball, and Cotchin going to Cripps when he did go to him, didn't work. Simple as that. I mean, Cripps dominated. So, you know, he's an older player too, Cotchin. But you're right, they need Bolton to really step up as a bona fide midfielder. You know, they need... I think you're probably spot on there with Lambert, by the way. I do think he's an underrated player. I'm not sure. He's been right up in their best and fairest voting a number of times, Kane Lambert. And where's he at the moment? What's he injured? What's wrong with him?
I can't remember what his injury is now.
I think it's a long-term... I think he's got a long-term...
Yeah,
I can't recall, but I'm pretty sure he's got a long-term injury. Yeah,
I think he might be missing
half the year.
Yeah.
They'll need to find someone then. That's where they need the Jack Graham types to stand up.
Yeah, and Jack was probably not at his best, but it's round one. Then you've got Collier Dawkins waiting in the wings, Thompson Dow. They're the sort of next wave that are coming through.
I think they conceded. They actually conceded that. I'm pretty sure Damien Hardwick said that Jack Graham was underdone, and losing Prestia forced him to play a little bit more than they would have wanted to. So I guess we talk about round one, there's the pressure of players and teams wanting to get their guys up for round one. But sometimes you just sort of got to remember that round two is worth 4 points as well, and maybe you're best off just waiting a week.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, it's amazing how much I don't know about your luck, JJ, but I always found round one was the toughest game outside of the finals, personally. I just always felt everyone was so up and about and ready for it. And then the games get, your body gets a bit more used to it after round. Round one is a real shock to the system when you wake up on the next morning after a big game. It really is. Because the pressure's always on in round one. It doesn't matter who you play, but you always feel like you've played a real proper game of footy in round one.
The other thing that is a kind of hit them in the face is, so Jack Revolt's going to miss, let's call it 2 to 4 weeks. We don't really know with that thumb. It can, sometimes they can bounce back quickly, and more often than not, they sort of miss a month. But Coleman Jones and Mabior Chol leave because they can't get opportunity. And now they desperately would love one of those two guys to plug straight in there. So I know they've got a young, tall forward, Samson Ryan, who they're really, really high on. But, it's hard to bring him in and expect him to play at the same level as Jack Revolt. So they got some holes in the front half as well now through injury.
Well, they certainly do, and they need to bounce back quickly. The next week they just need to beat the Giants next week. Simple as that. They don't want to be zipping two, as I said earlier.
No, because the pressure will be right on them. We can't talk about this game without talking about Sam Doherty, because it is one of the best stories so far of 2022. He hadn't played since August. 12 weeks of chemo after that secondary recurrence of testicular cancer. He's been through two ACL reconstructions, and that goal, it's going to be one of the most iconic moments of this year and probably of his career, really. He was outstanding as the number one player on the ground.
He was very good. He was excellent the other night. It was great faith that Michael Voss showed in him to bring him back after one hit out, which admittedly he did have 38 touches in that hit out in the practice match. But the reality is he's put him back in. The way they did it, they took the pressure off him. They announced him earlier in the week. I've seen some nice stuff on social media post-game as well. So, good on him. Good on Sam Doherty, and good on Carlton, and good on Michael Voss, for that matter.
Speaking of other great stories this weekend, and for Collingwood fans, it was a long wait for Nick Dacos to finally make his debut, because they've been watching him for years and years run around as an underager. But it was fantastic. 27 touches in his debut for the Pies. One more than his dad, Peter, had back in 1979. It was excellent.
Yeah, he's a terrific player. He really is. He just looked at the level, doesn't he? He looked at the level every time he steps up. So, I think if you were putting a frame together for a rising star, I mean, you'd be putting him at the top of the tree, that's for sure. He's going to get plenty of opportunities. They're going to ease him in off the halfback flank. They're going to put him around the ball, I reckon, as the year goes on as well. So, I think we all know how talented he is, and he's going to be one to watch for a number of years now.
JJ, what did you make of the Pies' game style?
I liked what I saw from Collingwood. I've been bullish on them. I know they sort of lost their way a little bit last year, and Nathan Buckley stepped down as coach. I've always really rated their game style. I think they're a skillful team. They've got a good group of players. They look a lot better when Jeremy Howe's in that side from the back half. He's just turned into such an elite interceptor. He's a very good kick. He's a very underrated kick. I like Crisp and Maynard back there. They're just a really settled group, and I really think they could bounce back if they can find some goals from, sort out the situation, whether it's Cox or Cameron, work out who's who there. If Elliott can stay on the park, Mychek's just that great working, tall sort of bullocking forward. I really like their chances, and Brody Grundy can bounce back as one of the top few rucks in the game. I think they can really jump up the ladder, the Pies. I really liked what I saw the other night.
Let's not forget DeGoey, because DeGoey is a really, really critical player to that team. I see him a bit like Heaney, as a forward that can go into the ball the ball a bit. I know he thinks he's a midfielder that can play forward. I think it's the other way around. I think he's a genuine forward. He knows where to go, knows how to lead, knows good. He's got good pattern, leading patterns, got great sideways movement, lateral movement. But I reckon there's occasions where you throw him on the ball, but I would have him 80-20 forward mid.
Yeah. All right. I'm with you there.
It's Nat Edwards, Liam Pickering and Josh Jenkins with you on Crunch Time on Sunday. Our experts today here for Buy My Stock. Got excess stock? Visit buymystock.com.au. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to Crunch Time. Brought to you by the Isuzu D-Max. Born to live.
Hope you've been having a fabulous weekend. It is a beautiful day here at the MCG for Hawthorn and North Melbourne. A lot of excitement around as the fans are streaming in to the MCG. I think we're going to get a good crowd here today, Pickers.
Well, there is certainly people streaming in. It's a magnificent afternoon for football. So if you're in the area, you're going to see a good game of two pretty young teams, really. Yeah, I reckon they'll get 30,000 to 40,000. They seem to be streaming in at the moment. We're sitting outside in the caravan today in the outside broadcast van, and people are coming from everywhere.
Yeah, the festival of footy's going on. It's there's a really great buzz around Melbourne at the moment.
Do you reckon what people that were probably tossing up to go to the footy today, they've watched what's gone on in these other games, and they've thought, hang on a minute, I haven't seen my team in action for 2 years.
Exactly.
I'm going along. The MCG, it's a 110 game. Perfect.
Perfect conditions. I mean, not if you're playing, but for spectating, it's a beautiful day here, and there's nothing better than a Sunday arvo at the MCG.
Just put a pair of shorts on. Slap a bit of sunscreen on.
Be sun smart.
And just enjoy the afternoon of footy.
All right, our talkback is for Kogan Mobile. Make the call. Switch to Kogan Mobile. We've actually got an update on the condition of Jeremy Cameron, obviously the Geelong superstar, and JJ gave us the scoop earlier on how he's going. Been cleared of that internal damage, but this is a little update from Jezza himself.
Okay.
Hey guys, just want to give you a quick little update. I'm doing well back here at the farm. I tell you what, have a look at this. Bloody beautiful. I just had to go through the necessary things to tick off, make sure there was no internal bleeding and stuff, but overall, feeling great, and I'll be here all day if you want me.
So that was his Instagram. What you couldn't see, obviously, was a little fire that was going on in the background there. Where's the farm, JJ?
I don't know. He's just purchased a new farm. He's been in there all night, all day and all night, renovating and pulling cupboards out and redoing the place. You would have thought, Pickers, the contract they gave him, he just would have bought the biggest and best farm in the joint. But
yeah, it looked like a 10-gallon drum cut in half, and he's just stuck a bit of that kindling on it. But anyway, the good news is he's okay, and he'll be playing next week. So which means that, as you're right, JJ, he's going to cop a bit of stick this week for going off to the sick bay with bruises.
You got 16 paramedics around him. He had a police escort with the ambulance, and that's the beauty of footy clubs, Pickers, is the boys and there's full time IT and computer superstars and wizards down there. They'll have him whizzed off in the ambulance by Monday morning's team meeting. I can't wait.
We had a bloke when I was playing at North. It was against Hawthorn here, and he went down and with what looked late in the game, in a really close game, Hawthorn North went down with a serious injury. He was down on the ground for two goals they kicked while he was down on the ground. Anyway, gets the training. He's fine. He's good as gold. I'm not going to name the player because he's a mate of mine. But
Come on, name and shame.
Got the training on the Monday, on the Tuesday night. And he said, the coach gets up and he says, look, I don't want to embarrass anyone, but we had a player that went down late in the game with nothing more than a bruised toe. And we're in tears because, we're not going to embarrass anyone, but everyone knows what you're talking about. He's sitting in the room.
What was his reaction?
Oh, he's a bit embarrassed.
Dig a hole. You just want the ground to suck you up in that situation.
With nothing more than a bruised toe.
Oh, dear. Well, apart from the Hawthorn North Melbourne game here at the MCG, there are a couple of other games to round out round one. Adelaide and Fremantle at the Adelaide Oval. Obviously, Freo, no Nat Fife. Sean Darcy also not available for round one. But Jordan Clark, Neil Erasmus and Will Brody to make Docker debuts. And a couple of debutants too at the Adelaide Crows with Josh Rochelli and Jake Saliga. I am so excited to see Josh Rochelli play because big raps on him in last year's draft. He was the best small forward going around, and boy, can he celebrate a goal.
Well, he likes a bit of me about him. I'll tell you that, but he's a serious talent. Don't worry about that. He's a really talented and a real forward too. A real forward.
Yeah.
So he'll excite the Crows. I mean, the big guy over there, big Haggis, he doesn't miss too many, and he's had his eyes set on him for 2 years, I reckon, and they've recruited him, and he's going to play first up. Saligo's a good player too. So it's exciting for the Crows, I reckon. I can't believe you. And you have to put your tips in on Tuesday. No chance I would have picked Fremantle to beat Adelaide if I'd have known that Darcy's not playing.
Yeah, I know.
And Fife. Jingo.
And then Matt Crouch comes back in too, JJ.
Yeah, and no Tabiner as well, I think, for Freo. So yeah.
Don't tell me.
You can change your tips.
Are you saying Maggie's out as well?
You
don't know who Maggie Tabiner is, do you?
Adelaide absolutely have to win this game. Absolutely. No, I don't, Liam. I've had to just get going.
That, that went over our heads, I think, JJ.
I'm young enough to be your son.
You've never heard of Maggie Taverner?
Never.
Okay. Anyway, go on, move on.
No, but I mean, in all seriousness, I know Tex Walker's not playing, but Adelaide have to win this game. No, you know, Nat Fyfe, they're absolute superstar. Sean Darcy is one of my favourite rucks in the AFL. He's not there, so Riley O'Brien should have his way in the centre. And no Taberno, who had a fantastic season last year. So they're going to be struggling to move the ball and to kick goals, Frio. So, yeah, and it's a very, very warm day over here. It'll be probably north of 30 degrees. So Adelaide should be up and about. They'll get a full house. They've been talking about silencing the siren. That's been their theme going into round one. So, yeah, and great, as you said, Nat, to get to see Matt Crouch back in All-Australian in 2017. Maxie's first appearance, missed all of last year. So Adelaide they'll be very disappointed if they don't win this game.
And then you add Jordan Dawson to the mix as well.
Nice recruit, isn't he?
Yeah, Jordan very Dawson. Nice recruit.
The Swans didn't want to lose him, but they in the end they had to because he's a free agent.
Hey, Pickers, Darcy Fogarty, is it time for him to really step up? Because Walker's going to miss the first three. Mm. I know he's young, but he's been exposed to about 40, 45 games thus far. To me, he looks is he a tweener? Like, he's an in-betweener at the moment? Like, is it now and is it time for him to stand up and decide whether he will or won't be an AFL player?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's been in the system a while now. Well, he's had plenty of opportunities. He's a bit of a bit part player, really, isn't he? He's a spasmodic sort of character. When he gets it, you're always confident he'll kick the goal. He just doesn't seem to get a lot of the ball.
He's like an old school full forward, though.
He's like
isn't
a smaller version of Jonathan Brown, but not as good.
Yeah.
But a smaller version. He's just not quite that big sort of key forward. But I like him. I do like him. I think when he's playing, they look a lot better. But they're going to need him to step up at some stage.
And he's got a bit of mongrel, want of a better word. But he's got a bit of that about him, which I really like.
Yeah, he's got to get some consistency. Get some consistency in his game. If he does, well, that'll be really important for the Crows with Tex out.
Mm. Where are you seeing the Crows this year, JJ?
Bottom.
Low. Yeah. I think they'll be. I know they win
seven wins. Yeah, 7-15 last year.
I know the talk over here, spending the last few days in Adelaide and had a coffee with Barry Bickley, the premiership skipper, the other day. I know they want to win about 10.
Okay.
I don't know if they'll win more than what they won last year. I don't really see. They've got a lot of areas of the ground which I don't think that they've improved upon. They've got, you know, they need some of these first round picks, Chase Jones, McHenry, Fogarty, Fisher-McCarthy can't get a game. Mm. They're the guys that need to catapult them up the ladder like we see with other teams. So, yeah, I just wonder, hopefully Rochelle is one that certainly has an impact straight away, but you can only expect so much from a young player. So, 7 or 8 wins, I don't think they'll win too many more.
No. As long as they don't go backwards, though, that's not what you want. You want to move forward and take steps, even if you're around about the same mark.
The bottom four for me,
with
the Crows, I just don't. I think they're going to be all right in a few years, but they're still a fair way off it, I think.
The other club that could be bottom four for mine is West Coast, and they take on Gold Coast this afternoon. It's a 4:40 p.m. fixture if you're in Perth, 7:40 if you are in Melbourne. And this is what West Coast CEO Trevor Nisbet had to say on ABC Radio about West Coast's late Sunday games.
Oh, absolutely, Clint. One of the things that drives us mad are these late games on a Sunday. It's not just our country members, but we're very cognizant of our country members. And I've got a lot of mates who are in the bush and telling us, look, we just can't get to the game. I hate that. I think it's not the right thing to do, given that, you know, there would be people in Melbourne who don't realise how vast our state is and how far people have to drive or fly to get here. And the other thing that, of course, is if it's a school day next day, it does make it extremely difficult for families to get along to the footy and get the kids home in time and ready for school the next day. So there's a number of things that we push back on, and this time slot is not ideal under any circumstance.
What did you make of that, Pickers?
Gee, they can whinge. They're the best out
there. They're the best in the league at it, aren't they? They are.
They are. I totally agree. I just I mean, that's just... Oh, well, you've got a 440 game, Niz. You'll be right. You'll be right.
They've got three in the first nine rounds, so that's where it's at. You know, it really drives them mad.
It's not the worst time. It's not like it's 7:40 on telly over here. 4:40's not the worst time to be playing.
It's a great... I used to love the twilight the time slot as a player because it's almost the perfect amount of time to prepare. Night games, you sit around all day, particularly if you're in a hotel and you're bored, you don't know what to do, you don't want to go out and exercise too much. And the 12:45 or the 1:15 games, they sort of come up on you too quickly. I used to love... I don't know what... They whinged in the hub and it affected the way they played. I don't know what they're complaining about, to be honest. They're going to get a good crowd. It's a great stadium to play at. It'll be a beautiful day over there. It'll be nice and warm. Just go out and win the game.
Yeah. Well, they are worried that it is going to impact the crowd because I think at the moment it's 50% capacity for Optus Stadium, so they're at 30,000. They're hoping to get about 25, but they're worried that these late games, and to be fair, as a fan, I hate the twilight Sunday games. I never wanted to go to them. It's Sunday, it's the end of the weekend, I just want to chill out at home. The last thing I wanted to do is you know, make my way out to Marvel Stadium or something like that for a late afternoon game. So from a fan's perspective, I don't love them.
And you know, the other thing is, Nizzy said, I don't think people in Melbourne know, you know, realise how vast the state is. No, we don't, because we haven't been able to get over there for about 5 years.
You cut us off.
We've been locked out. We haven't been able to get over there. And a bloke debuting today, me at the meeting. I have many of them. But on Zoom, we couldn't get into the state.
Oh, it is ridiculous. But speaking of West Coast, I mean, we do need to talk about the issues that they are facing right now. So Liam Ryan and Tim Kelly obviously out with health and safety protocols, but they're missing Luke Shuey, Jack Darling, Elliot Yeo, Dom Sheed, Oscar Allen, Liam Duggan, Jamie Cribbs and Alex Witherden. I mean, this is half their leadership group is actually out today.
And they've lost Brad Shepherd
out of the AFL.
So, you look at those names, you put them back in the side. There's not a hope in hell of anyone selecting Gold Coast. But with them out, I mean, there's no other option. The alternative is you look mad if you pick the West Coast with the team they've got in. So I do feel for them. And it's not their doing. It's not their fault that you know their players have all got it now because they've opened up the state. But you know they've had all these guys with COVID, and you know there's some issues over there. But gee, if they can find a way to get a win today, that'll build some real momentum because this won't be one anyone's expecting them to win.
And the pressure right on the Gold Coast Suns to get a win today and also to finally make a finals berth this year. All right, you're listening to Crunch Time. Thanks to Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops. We'll be back right after this. Hawthorn, North Melbourne, not far away.
A sports news update for Rolled. Eat good with Rolled. It's fast, fresh Vietnamese.
Sports news update is brought to you by Rolled, fast, fresh Vietnamese. The last time Lance Franklin played in front of an unrestricted crowd at the SCG, he kicked 4 goals in his 300th game back in 2019, and a repeat of that performance next Friday night against the Cats could spark another massive celebration. Franklin kicked just 1 goal in Sydney's 20-point opening round derby win over GWS yesterday, lifting his career haul to 996. Geelong have started their AFL season off in style, defeating Essendon by 66 points at the MCG yesterday. On debut for the Cats, Tyson Stengel kicked 4, but the win may have come at a cost with touted forward Jeremy Cameron sent to hospital with suspected broken ribs after a knock in the forward line. And there was carnage when the Brisbane Lions pulled off a thrilling victory over Port Adelaide last night by 11 points. With the power left with serious injuries to Xavier Dersma and Trent McKenzie, while Brisbane's Dane Zorko was left wounded. Eat good with Rolled. It's fast, fresh Vietnamese.
Crunch Time, brought to you by Isuzu. Go your own way with the 3-litre Isuzu D-Max and extraordinary 7-seat MUX. Enjoying Crunch Time Banter? Check out Dabble Banter channels and copy Crunch Time Bets. Go on, have a dabble. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Time now to catch up with Josh from Dabble. Josh, welcome to Sunday Crunch Time.
G'day, Nat. How are you? Tell you what, round one, it's been interesting, hasn't it? There's been some really great performances, certainly on the field for sure.
Yeah, no, we're all excited to have men's footy back for 2022. It's been a really exciting time. So for those of us that haven't heard of Dabble before, what is it? Explain it to us.
Yeah, so Dabble is a new betting app with a new experience for punters. So obviously you've got your standard markets in there as well, so you can do standard betting. But then if you can imagine Twitter and WhatsApp combined with betting, so when you jump on, instead of seeing people uploading photos, what you're seeing is tipsters that know their stuff uploading their tips and their multis, so you can just copy those bets straight away and enjoy the fun.
Oh, copy and paste job. I like it. Now, the Crunch Time team have our very own profile on Dabble.
That's right.
How have we been going so far over the weekend, and what do we have on today?
Well, unfortunately, the pensioners from Geelong were too good. They went over the 1 to 39
yes, Josh.
Margin there. GWS, unfortunately, losing to Sydney, and Brisbane got up. So you got one from three there. But today we're looking at Kangaroos over the Hawks. Freo to win 1 to 39, and I think the safest bet, the Suns to beat the Eagles.
All right. Thank you, Josh. Thanks so much for joining us on Crunch Time. Josh from Dabble there.
Yeah, come back with a better joke next week, Josh. No one appreciated the pensioner call.
I thought you were going to walk out just then. Well, we are not far away from the Hawthorn-North Melbourne game here at the MCG. A 1:10 start, so about 20 minutes away. So we thought we might as well just do a little bit more of a deep dive on this game. I think we're all picking North Melbourne out of this one.
I can't believe you are, to be perfectly honest.
Well,
I mean,
it's just the lack of experience. Like, Hawthorn have been, you know, hit by COVID in the last week. So Ben McAvoy, Luke Bruce out with the health and safety protocols. But it is the youngest Hawthorn team since 2005 when Buddy Roughhead and Lewis all made their debut. The average age, 23.9 years.
What I am looking forward to today is seeing Sicily back. I mean, Sicily's such an important player for the Hawks. Getting him back across half-back. Granger Barassa, I think, is going to be a real player. I don't think the future's too... I think it's pretty bright for Hawthorn, to be honest. They've got some good young players in there. Looking forward to seeing Josh Ward. JJ, he's a really smart player. He looks to me born to be an AFL player, to be honest. And then North, of course. I think they're building quite nicely. I think this is probably going to be a seven or eight win season. But, I'm probably leaning towards North Melbourne today, or am in my selection. So, JJ,
I'm with you. I reckon I'm definitely with North today, and I think I'm probably with North. If you made me choose which club was going to be sort of higher up the ladder in 2 to 3 years, I think North as well. I just think they're a little bit better balanced. They've got a few key pillars. You know, Ben McKay and Nick Larkey, I think, are great pieces to have at either end of the ground. Both are still quite young. I like the fact that they've identified the fact that Goldstein is probably declining and he's not far away from finishing up, so they've recruited well. They are really high on Cherry, so they might have a great ruck combination once Goldstein moves along. Horn Francis, who knows how good he can be, and I like a few of their recruits. You know, Hugh Greenwood's going to steady them up through the middle and kind of give them what they haven't got in Ben Cunnington at the moment. So I think North will win today, and I like them for the future as well.
And what about Tyron Thomas? Because he is a player that I just love to watch play footy. And I reckon, like, this year, for him, breakout year.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a massive Tyron Thomas fan. I just think, and so are the North supporters, every North supporter I know, all waiting for exactly what you're talking about, Nat. And I think it will be this year. You know, he showed glimpses last year. Jai Simpkin took his name, game to another level last year. Davies Uniac was getting a lot more consistent. He's a very good player. So the real X factors in the North young brigade, really. I mean, I like Tom Pell too, by the way, but Horn Francis and Tyron Thomas. And they're thick as thieves, the two of them. They're besties. So I can see them coming along together, the two of them. And I think they're going to have a bright future, North.
And that's where you build your list, isn't it? And that's probably what Hawthorn haven't had, those really top high-end draft picks in the last few years. We've spoken about that at length. And that's probably what North Melbourne just have over them that will probably see them, I guess, they have more short-term success in the next couple of years over Hawks.
Well, North Melbourne, it was their first ever number one pick, and they used it well.
Yeah, very
because
well.
This kid's been dominating for a year and a half at Sandford level, and that tells you that he's not going to be overawed by the big stage out here this afternoon, and I think he'll thrive in the environment, to be honest. I like the way North are building. It's one thing to have the picks, it's another thing to get them right. You know, I think North have got them right in the last few years.
So, Josh, if you're Sam Mitchell, what do you want to see out of today?
Well, whatever it is that they want to achieve, and we know all teams want to defend well behind the ball, and when they haven't got the ball and they want to win their contested possession. So it'll probably be as simple as that for Sam Mitchell. There's no need to reinvent the wheel. You just got to go down, get down to business and implement and execute the game style. Be interesting to see whether, you know, Sam played in that successful era where the Hawks were super skillful, brilliant by kick, they're able to just cut you up all over the ground with their short kick and mark game. So it'll be interesting to see whether that's a philosophy that he goes with, or he sort of sticks with that take territory, win contest, take territory, win contest, which way he falls in terms of how he wants his team to play.
Well, going by the pre-season, they're going to be attacking. There's no doubt about that. They're all duck, no dinner in that game against Collingwood. Gee, they got opened up badly the other way.
It was six quarters of football.
They don't count. Don't worry about the last three quarters. They don't count. That was the Collingwood reserves versus Hawthorn. Yeah. The first three quarters, it was 20 goals to four.
Yeah.
And so they got opened up badly the other way. So, and Collingwood aren't, you know, Collingwood are not a bad side. I mean, I don't think anyone's got them in the top four.
No.
So they'll want to have adjusted their defensive stuff, I reckon, for this round one counter, because you can't be giving away goals as easy as they did in that game. And they were a little bit better in the game against Richmond. They played Richmond, didn't they, in the community series. They were a bit better.
Use the corridor a whole lot.
A bit better. But they haven't got the names. Look, they haven't got the players. It'll be good to see Gunston back this afternoon, because he's a really important player. And I love the team. And they've got Gunston and Bruce in the forward line. Obviously no Bruce today and no McAvoy. So North might have the advantage in the middle of the ground, because I think they'll get a ruck dominance today.
And then you get CJ running off half-back again. I can't wait to see what he can do in 2022 as well. He's another one that really excites a lot of Hawks fans
Only a few more seconds till you can get your knuckle.
Very, very excited here at the MCG. This has been Sunday Crunch Time with Nat Edwards, Liam Pickering and Josh Jenkins. Thanks so much for joining us.
G'day, Mike Hussey here. Get on board Australia's best fantasy cricket game, KFC Supercoach BBL. It's fun, free and easy to play. Play today at supercoach.com.au.
T's and C's apply. New South Wales authorisation number TP/01005.